That's not how we're doing this episode. Don't do that again. Okay.
Don't do that again?
Dustin just got told.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nathan.
And that's not your name. Your name's Nolan. You're close, though. And this is episode 217, Stardew Valley, an indie game made by one guy. From the ground up, has now sold more than 10 million copies across all platforms.
He's probably not even rich yet.
Oh, please. I can't even tell you how proud I am of, I don't know his real name. I know his in-game name is Concerned Ape.
Yeah, Concerned Ape. That's what, like, most people refer to him by.
I'm so proud. I'm so happy for him.
Guy, like, quit his day job, yep. Had a supportive girlfriend or wife, worked at home for, I think, 3 years, creating this. Yep. But everything, music, graphics,
story,
the game, yeah, everything. Yeah. He did it all by himself. He just recently, within the last year or two, brought in a few team members to help make it multiplayer. But before that, and besides that, it was all him.
Yep. That's
crazy.
So inspiring. And I want people to continue buying it because I want to see, like, how successful he can get. You said he's not rich. Kenny, he's rich. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was being totally sarcastic.
Yeah, okay.
10 million is good for any title, I think.
A AAA, probably.
Right. Well, depending on the game and the company. True. But still, 10 million is a good sell for a game, especially an indie game. And it's super cool. Since release, he's added updates and new content, and it's all been free for those that have already bought the game.
And it's on Switch and other platforms. Awesome. Oh my goodness.
Kenny, has your wife not played it? Because I think she'd really like it.
She has not, and I don't know if she would. She has weird taste in...
She likes platformers.
Some men. Things, but especially in men. In men mostly, and in video games also.
Well, you should get it for her for Christmas.
You got a few months to save up.
For this last Christmas.
No, 2021.
Oh.
But plus one to the little indie developers, and may they ever reign over all of the other corporate bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't fabricated. It came. It just rolled off.
Are you tired?
Bloodsuckers. Dracula. Like in our retro game of the week. Here, let me bring this back full circle. Castlevania, Circle of the Moon.
Overview.
Castlevania Kotom is a standard platforming Castlevania game.
No,
at least of the Symphony of the Night variety. I think there's kind of, two main Castlevania types? Right?
Yes.
Like, you've got... The earlier, just left to right
platformer, So like four and below, maybe maybe after there are so many, and then weirdly the Metroidvania style,
right,
of Castlevanias,
which we discussed. So in episode 190, I believe we played Symphony
numbers?
Of the Night, which is in the Castlevania series. It was released 4 years before Circle of the Moon, the game that we're playing, that we played this last week. This game came out in 2001. It was the first Castlevania game for the Game Boy Advance, and the first in three in a series of three or maybe four that came out for the console. It was a launch title, actually, for the Game Boy Advance.
Yes, that was news to me. Kind of surprised to hear that, actually.
I looked up the list because of Game Boy Advance release title, launch titles, and I was going to kind of throw out a few of them, but I've never played any of those and don't even know the majority of them.
Can I guess one of them?
Nolan will know two of them.
Metroid Zero Mission.
No.
Super Mario World.
No.
Oh, Pokemon.
Super Mario Advance.
Pokemon Sapphire?
Did you hear it? Super Mario Advance.
Oh,
was,
I don't know what that is.
And then, no, not Pokemon.
I don't know then. Tell me.
The list is a little bit lengthy, but I'll throw out a few. Earthworm Jim, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, Super Dodgeball Advance, Rayman Advance, Pitfall the Mayan Adventure.
Okay, like these, you can stop.
The weirdest, I know, the weirdest
That's
list.
That's so bizarre to me. Like, no there's, major Nintendo hits?
No, there's an F-Zero game, an Army Men Advance. It's just the weirdest collection of launch titles. But a part of that was this game, Circle of the Moon. So at least there's one. But this one's not even Nintendo. This one is Konami. What? Konami.
Wow, well said.
Developed and produced by Konami. And the story doesn't matter because it's one of the four Castlevania games removed from the official canon. So it's like it never happened.
They don't acknowledge the story?
Correct.
No, they don't.
That's fine with me. There's barely a story.
There is barely a story, and the story that is there has been done in the other games for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
Although you've got a few nuances here, but really, in this game, even more than the other Castlevania game that I've played, it is secondary, or not even that. It's just there, and it kind of gets in the way of gameplay.
Yeah, it's just there.
It for those of you that care, 1830 is the year Dracula's back. Surprise!
What?
Surprise! But,
Instead of getting lost in Dracula's castle this time, you're lost in Camilla's castle, which is someone that likes Dracula, and
she's the one that brought him back.
She's a groupie.
Yeah, that's what it is. She went to one of his earlier concerts and then has followed him ever since. But you are a vampire hunter that isn't a part of the Belmont clan, which was a mainstay in a lot of the series. You're a part of the Baldwin clan. Your last name's not Baldwin, but you're a part of that clan, and your name is Nathan.
Wait,
and
you really are from Baldwin clan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not canon, so I don't need to remember
It's not canon anymore, so none of that story matters.
Okay.
And you only get pieces of it after boss battles in this game anyways, but that's Circle of the Moon. Did either of you have any experience with this game before this last week?
No. I had a Game Boy Advance, loved it. I didn't play one Castlevania on the platform. You said there are three. I don't know if they're part of the same. It's like, I mean, they're all Castlevania games, but I don't know if they're like after one another, have anything to do with one another. I don't think any of them do, but apparently the one of those, I think Aria of Sorrow, was like super popular, but I still missed that one too.
Yeah, like Nolan, zero experience with this one. I didn't have a GBA.
Lame-o.
Gameplay.
Okay, gameplay. This game is very, very similar to Symphony of the Night. So for those of you that did listen to that episode and maybe played along with us when we played it, it's the same style. So Metroidvania means that you're getting lost the whole time. And I think, Dustin, you mentioned that being a problem. But you have this giant castle, and there's some platforming, and there's some item discovery. But most of it is you going through and defeating kind of like gothic style monsters, if you know nothing about Castlevania.
But again, you said that it's like Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
It is Symphony of the Night. I honestly think that you could pause this episode, go listen to episode 190, and then come back and we'll start the age section.
Or
like that's how we should do this.
It's
or just skip this
the
one.
Same.
It's the exact same style.
Look at look at the screenshot. It's the exact same health bar,
okay, do you have
mana
a health
bar, the exact same items, the exact same heart, the exact same blue bar with the character enemy
names.
You've
got the whole DSS thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's different.
You've got worse graphics and worse sound because it's on the GBA.
No.
And that's aged.
Wait. Y'all have to stop. Let's start with your basic movements and your basic weapon.
You can go left and right.
No.
Listen, that's movement.
That's not how we're doing this episode. Don't do that again. Okay.
Don't do that again?
Dustin just got told.
So you have a whip. You're not part of the Belmont family. And the Belmonts usually have the whip, apparently. That's like part of the story is like they've got the vampire whip.
But this isn't the vampire whip.
No, it's the hunter whip, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And so you have a whip that's your main weapon. And that's my favorite Castlevania weapon. I know it's the main one in most of the games, but it's the same deal in this one. You can jump and if you press your whip button, a horizontal line comes out in front of you and you can hit in front of you. You can't really hit up or down.
Kind of like Indiana Jones.
Sure. And you also have a hat. Like Indiana Jones.
And it's big stones rolling after you the entire time.
Yeah, and this guy's like, Kali Ma. And it's not Dracula, it's this other guy.
All right. I do like the whip because it gives you insane reach. Like, I feel overpowered early in these games because...
Dude, same.
I fight all the enemies that I come across, so I level up pretty consistently. The whip gives you insane... just distance, and it ends up doing some significant damage. And then in this game, which I don't know, you do have it in the other being Symphony of the Night, but you also have the little dash is a different thing. You have a slide mechanic that allows you to slide on the ground down low, so you avoid maybe projectiles up top, but it also does damage when you hit the enemy. Did it do damage in Symphony of the Night?
I want to say that it did, but maybe not at first. You have to like level it up or something.
I thought I just used some. I just thought I used the dash in Symphony of the Night for movement because it was the backwards thing. You remember?
Yeah. So the dash backwards.
I don't think it does damage, but in this game it does, which is super nice. It allows you to move a lot faster.
Yeah. But the problem with while we're talking about movement, I have a problem with the movement in this game compared to the other Castlevania games. It's very sluggish, and you don't have a dash at the beginning of the game.
But it's not for long.
Yeah, okay, well, you unlock one very early in the game. I got it in my first play. It's only 10 minutes. But
they give you lots of mobility stuff throughout the game.
No. Let me talk here. I'm going to slap both of you. You don't have the dash. You have to pick up the dash boots, but then it doesn't turn your normal run into a dash. You have to double tap the D-pad, because we are on GBA, to start the dash. You double tap and hold, and then you can run. And it's... why did they not just put it, like, on R? Like, you had trigger buttons.
We already had something for R. Like, you're limited on the GBA that Kenny and I never had. L and R bumpers and A and B. That's all you got.
Then they could just change your input left and right to a run. Like I kind of hate that they even had like a walk and a run system. Just make it run the whole time.
To some degree, though, like even more than L and R, they had so many different things that you could do in this game that already you're having to do button combos for other kinds of stuff because they gave you like a whole bunch of moves. And so,
like what?
I don't know.
I don't know. Are you talking about your secondary weapons that they stole from Symphony of the Night?
All kinds of stuff. You got stole. They made both. You've got to activate. You've got certain things that you activate that are like DSS based. If you're doing summons,
what's DSS?
Or like,
let's talk DSS. What is it?
Yeah. So DSS is the dual setup system. That's the term that they used for this like card system that was the magic.
Yeah.
System in the game that was kind of the unique feature that Circle of the Moon added. All the rest of the stuff is standard Castlevania, you know, secondary weapon and changing those out and all of the kinds of things that, you know, that you're familiar with in those. But in this one, you're collecting these cards, pairing up two different kinds of cards to give yourself some kind of upgrade, and there's a whole bunch of them. You got like 100 different options because you have
two sets of 10 cards each.
Yeah, a row of like the type of move that you want to upgrade, and then a row of 10 sets of like how you want to upgrade it.
I think they're called action and attribute categories.
That sounds right.
Action and something. And I really, really, really like this system. I think it's super creative.
I think it's super creative. I think it's very slow to move between them, but again, just hit select and have some presets. You've got to go into your menu, go into DSS, move the first card, move the second card, get out of the menu, and then you've got a different a magical ability.
Yeah, I like the concept of it a lot more than the implementation again, you've got to menu way through it. The actual like card system itself is buggy, which I don't know if that's something you guys discovered, but people who play a lot of this game,
you're a cheater.
There's ways to like,
you're a cheater.
You cheat.
I didn't, but I didn't know. And then I found out and I was like, oh, that would have made life easier.
Yeah, but it also would have been cheap.
What Kenny's saying is that before even finding the cards, there's a way to kind of rig the system fairly easily so that you can use the cards that you don't have yet. So pretty much from the start of the game, you can have access to all 100 spells.
Which is kind of important. Not kind of important. They shouldn't have done that. But one of the problems with this system is how low the drop rate on these cards are. Like, they're really hard to get. And so, to me, it was one of the most novel, fun things in the game. And then, like, they spread them out and you don't get them often. And until I learned about the bug, I was like, I don't get to play with all these things. And I wanted to. So, I don't know.
Well,
that kind of bugged
me.
Okay,
listen. I would say that, yes, the drop rate is low. But it also was in Symphony of the Night and other games like this. But the thing that they helped you with is that they gave you two cards relatively early on, as long as you're fighting the enemies, by the way, that are constantly respawning, that ups your luck skill so that you can get better drops more frequently.
Oh, I thought you just said they were going to do two cards so that you could like have them. And I was like, nobody cares about the fire whip.
Right. Well, I mean, or the ice whip. Yeah, they do that early, which is nice. But there is a combination early on that gives you a higher luck stat so that
you could
get some better drops.
An example of, that's one example of like pairing up two cards. One of them, like if you have, I don't even know the names of them, but if you have like Venus or something selected, and then the bottom row would be like increase intelligence by 25%, or another one would be damage increases. This one's really cool. Damage increases as a percentage of the map uncovered increases. So like the further you get in the game,
nice,
the more damage that does. Yeah, some of these are very interesting.
Some are very interesting. They had to get creative because when you have 100 different combinations, some of them are wasted and some of them are unimportant. Like one of them, I think, turns your whip into a bouquet of roses. I'm not entirely sure what that does, but I kind of respect that.
He pulls out a gun on one of them.
Yeah, that just pulls out a gun and shoots the enemy.
Yeah.
One gives you like a long sword. One is healing. So there are some that are
literal invulnerability that you can toggle on.
Well, that's a nice one.
These all sound really overpowered, but you do have a limitation of like magic points for how often you can use all of these crazy card combos.
But so on that note, I kind of don't think y'all did either, rely very heavily on DSS. By the way, it's very easy to toggle on and off with the L button, if we didn't say that. So like you can turn it on.
Whichever one is set.
Yeah, whichever one you have equipped, you can turn it on, turn it off, good.
Yeah.
Which is very, very nice quality of life thing, especially on a limited GBA controller. But I'm using the whip, dog. Like, I barely use even sub-weapons. Like, they sucked
for
in this
combat,
game.
For combat, I stuck primarily to the whip. But for some of the maneuverability, these games, I have found in Symphony of the Night, are a completionist dream. Because there are so many rooms and
secrets.
The castle is so large. Even in this Game Boy Advance game, there's so many secrets. Yeah. You can find, you can break through some certain walls. And sometimes I had a whip that, or an ability that freezes the enemies I hit. And so to get higher, I had to freeze an enemy that was flying, jump on that enemy, freeze another, jump on that one.
So good.
I did use my abilities, my magic abilities, not mainly for combat purposes, but for navigation.
I also found I was pulling them out for boss fights. Like, some of those bosses were not fun to just whittle down with a whip. And I don't know, like, you want to tear through them. And both the uniqueness of your normal items and, you know, being able to hit people from different angles or whatever else, as well as just harder hitting attacks, seems like a no-brainer to me.
Hey, let me ask, do bosses have elemental weaknesses?
Yes.
That's good. That wasn't in Symphony of the Night. I'm going to refer to that often, guys, if you don't know, because that's the only Castlevania game I have experience with.
They stole from Symphony of the Night. Okay, let me ask you, did you use sub-weapons?
I mean, just about as much as I did in Symphony of the Night.
I didn't at all. They sucked.
They're the exact same ones from...
But they didn't do much damage. Like, they got nerfed hard. It takes, like, one whip hit for a skeleton and three knives, throwing knives, to kill the same skeleton, and you're using MP. It's just like, no. I don't know.
I just use them for things that I couldn't reach. If something was on the platform above me and I had an axe that would
arc
through
the
air, I would do that. So that's how I would utilize them. But no, sub-weapons I didn't use much at all.
It's like those features were there, the DSS system, which I did enjoy and I used it, I'm not going to lie, but the sub-weapons just felt like just there because, oh, we're making a Castlevania game, we have to have those. And I don't know, I just kind of stuck to a very vanilla whip dodging experience, and I got very good at dodging things in those boss fights.
Well, that sounds real boring.
You cheated.
Yeah. Okay. You said boss fights. Let's talk about that. Yeah. It's one of the big, your kind of two big components of these Castlevania games are your navigation of the levels and finding all the secrets and the different and maneuvering the castle. And then the boss fights. You come to these mini bosses as well as mega bosses.
Mega bosses.
What?
Dad, big daddy bosses.
Maxi bosses.
Maxi?
Yeah,
no.
Mini and Maxi.
No.
You come to these bosses. It takes a while to get to kind of the main one, but after you fight the boss, you usually get a little piece of story there. I thought the bosses were kind of
so
plain
good.
And boring.
Why?
Because, do you remember the bosses in
yes,
Symphony
I
of
do.
The Night?
I remember How Symphony of the Night.
Hey, elaborate.
Hey, Dustin.
And... What, dude?
I have yes, a really played, important okay. question. Have you ever Symphony? Played Symphony of the Night?
There is a game in the Castlevania series that I played. By the way, I did. I what is it? 195% of the Symphony of the Night.
I know.
When we played it.
Yeah,
so,
I went hard at that game.
I loved that game. And again, I've got to refer to that. I'll try to stop. But in previous games in the Castlevania series, the bosses are these elaborate evil constructs that are terrifying, scary, like intriguing to look at. And these bosses are just uninspiring, don't have many skills, and they just kind of float around. I don't know. Did you come across a boss that was interesting?
Yeah, most of them.
I think I'm a little more in Nolan's camp here. I thought they did a pretty good job with them overall.
The first boss... Well, the first thing you come across is a mini boss, which is whatever. It's like a gargoyle thing, whatever. That's boring. I'll give you that. But the first real boss, maybe also a little boring. It's the dog thing. What are those things called?
Yeah, I think that was like a mini boss.
Even
still.
That guy has a couple other different attacks and moves.
Sure.
And
no, it was fine.
No, he's boring. And then you've got the necromancer. That's
so good.
Boring.
No, the floating cloak necromancer.
Yeah, he's
no,
got that one was balls great. Floating around him and stuff.
Yeah,
I just thought it was
simple,
not as good as
simple,
others.
Challenging, but still fun. Good design on the boss. I like the way it looked. Then you had the other demon looking thing that floated around, and then a poison head guy. They were all unique and terrifying looking. I don't know what you mean.
Poison head guy was the actual enemy's name. Poison head guy.
Yeah, we call him PHG.
Difficulty of bosses? Did y'all think they were extra tough, or you just had to learn the routine?
Yes, actually, because the controls suck. Like, because I can't move the way I want to move. I keep forgetting to double tap.
So you're just slowly walking away from a boss that's coming after you?
I had trouble dodging, and I loved them, but I died on them many, many, many times. I was back in the save room, having to reset. They were challenging for sure.
Kenny?
Yeah, I'm not good at video games, and so
I know.
I had some moments that were frustrating getting through them. I didn't feel like they were punishingly hard or like impossible. Definitely you can learn them. But I just, was new to the game and had to go through that process of like figuring them out. So they were tough, but not terribly so.
I will say that I didn't get here, but the Camilla boss, the like sorceress that resurrects Dracula.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, whatever. Are we really worried about spoilers on this podcast still?
For me.
Oh, please. You're not going to play this. I can already tell. Camilla transforms into this like sick looking
giant skeleton death.
Well,
thing.
She's like, she's on top of this skull with her hands in the eye sockets controlling it. It looks so sick.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I've heard the end game boss stuff it ramps up difficulty tenfold, that it gets really hard.
Oh, I don't doubt it. These games are challenging, and
they are.
And like I said, the movement here is going to be an issue.
is one of the bigger ones for you.
Yes.
Outside of the DSS system, which we explained, it really is copy-paste from previous games in this series, one that we may have played. You're going through the castle, up, down, left, right. You're getting new abilities or upgrades to your character, like you can dash into these little stone columns that will eventually break them, which will allow you to move past certain areas that you were unable to get to before. Or you can double jump eventually, or you can run faster. All of those things will help you get to areas you couldn't previously get to. That is what has become known as Metroidvania, because there were two games, Metroid and Castlevania, that started that. Really just one of them did, and the other one got to hop on. I think, no. Wasn't it Metroid and then yeah. Castlevania hopped on.
Yeah.
But that really is the system here, which is great if it's done well. And in Castlevania, they often do it well. But you're just moving throughout the castle in these different areas, fighting different enemies, getting to bosses. The only rooms that are different than the rooms that you're normally traversing are your save rooms and then your portal rooms. Again, very similar to previous games in the series, with a different character that you're playing, a slightly different story, and the DSS system, you're playing another Castlevania.
Oh my goodness. All right.
What? That doesn't mean that's a bad thing, but that's 1000% true.
I definitely felt like even some of their implementations of that felt a little different here. And maybe it was just perception, but I felt like I was doing a lot less major backtracking in some of these styled games, especially I think more the Metroid titles, but you have to like go a long ways to get something and then go a long ways back to get like to the next area. And don't get me wrong, you do some of that. This is a big map and a relatively long game.
Map sucks.
You're playing all the way through it. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's more, it's the exploration feels less rewarding and inspiring to me. It was a little more straightforward, I think, on this one.
Aged.
You said it's a lot of copy paste of other Castlevanias, and let's just Symphony of the Night. We said
you
it
got
already.
Mad at me, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But it is portable. It's a portable Metroidvania, and I think that's a big deal. Like, I don't know. Maybe there was a portable one before this, but probably not in the Castlevania series.
I don't think so. I think this was the first. We're just going to say this is the first one.
Sure. We are the authority, and we're going to, if it's wrong, we're changing history. And I will say that, like, being a launch title, they used what the Game Boy Advance had to offer. It, like, this to me feels like it could have been later in the life of the GBA for many reasons.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a few things that point to it being early, and people point out
wrong.
the later Circle of the Moon. The later Castlevania titles on the GBA as even being superior. There was lots of talk even when it came out about the graphics being a little bit too dark. There was, some conversation around just the animation of the main character. And
the tone of the game is dark.
Quite as tight.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And you need that. But there's also a practical, like, can you actually physically
can
see
you
the
see?
Game? Yeah, I don't mean
yes,
tone.
I don't think, see.
I don't think GBA has backlight.
It doesn't. The first Game Boy Advance did not. Game Boy Advance SP did.
So you're so I get that if the tone is dark, which they went for, but then you put it on a smaller screen and and it doesn't have backlight, there is going to be some difficulty.
No, you got to
buy. Necessarily
the,
have to struggle with that though.
You got to buy the little light that you can plug in to the side of it, and it's a lamp.
Or just or turn on the overhead light in the minivan as y'all are traveling, and you
just
can
get your cell phone and turn the flashlight on.
We didn't have cell phones back in the day.
I know, that was the joke.
I had a Nokia.
The music is good, But one of
it's
the
not as good as Symphony of the Night.
Most remarkable things about previous Castlevania games was the music, where the tracks were just absolutely enchanting and memorable.
They had a lot to already pull from, and they pulled from those things. Like they did. Yeah, they took songs that had already worked and been successful and been known in the series and redid them. Added a couple. Added a couple of original numbers, but then also like ran that all through Game Boy Advance, you know, ability to like play sound, which is not going to be, I don't know, the highest fidelity that you're going to
get. Do y'all
know
what you're talking about, or are you just saying things?
I'm in charge.
No, you're not. I'm in charge. I'm the captain now.
No, no one has taken charge of this episode. He's threatened to slap us.
The music was great. The music was great, I'll say.
Hum me one tune.
Hum you one tune? I don't hum, bro. I sing, and these don't have lyrics. Dracula. No, I promise you, Dracula. Like, y'all are tripping. This had great sound, like sound noises, but it also had a good soundtrack too.
Yeah, I started with saying it was good.
Right. No, and then Kenny was like, "Yeah, but they ran it through a GBA machine."
No,
and it
sounds
bad.
I wasn't trying to say it was bad. I was just trying to like, I don't know, be
yeah,
be
but
balanced.
I'm on the offensive.
It's songs you already know from the series, which is great. And when you have a series and known stuff, use it. I'm not like that's not a problem. I will agree the music is good for a GBA title that like is some tracks you already know, but good tracks. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I
but think if, we're you in did, agreement. If you don't we're have just, a backlight, you can't really listen to the music.
That is true. You have to turn on the overhead light in the minivan.
What is this episode?
I don't listen. We're not saying bad things. We're saying good things.
You're saying
about
bad
it.
Things.
No, we're not. You've got a jaded outlook.
I'm not
on
jade.
This game, or jade, the opposite of you. Rose colored glasses.
Yeah, Nolan will always vote New Game Plus for anything that came out on GBA because he's a GBA boy. And no. Dustin will never like another Castlevania game as much as Symphony of the Night, even if you gave him $1,000. To like it.
Sure, of course. But Symphony of the Night is highly regarded as probably one of the best ones.
I'm
in
just
the series.
Saying, I know what y'all are about.
By me. There is a lot of replayability here, which helps with the age.
Yeah.
So it gives you something that the other games doesn't, but also it lacks what some of the other games do. I don't think you can play through as a different character.
No, you can't.
But you can play through and unlock new classes. Which is super intriguing.
Yeah,
and
like,
I love it.
Like four different like modes of gameplay.
Yeah. Well, like magician mode is the first one that you unlock right. just by simply beating the game. And what that means, magician mode, is that your strength and HP are reduced, but your MP and intelligence are increased. So it gives you a different way to play the game.
And you start with all the DSS cards in that case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can have all your magic available to you early on.
And there's different ones. I think Fighter kind of does the opposite
of
that.
Fighter.
But
there's a thief one that's all about like increasing your luck and then collecting all of the different items. That there's one that uses your secondary items a lot more heavily and a whole bunch of different options. It's really
shooter.
Cool as a concept. Yeah.
That thief one's really cool because I think it decreases the majority of your stats except your luck. It like shoots it up through the roof.
Right.
So
it
that you're just
forces
getting,
you to depend on items.
Well, you're getting great drops from people, so it's just it gives you a different way to play the game each time if you're interested.
Conceptually,
in that.
I really like that as a way to go back and play, where it's not just play it again or just play it again harder, but it's like here's another take, especially for a game that's sort of RPG-ish. Like here's other archetypes you can play as, and that's I don't know, that's pretty rewarding in my mind.
If you like the music and want to hear more of it, you can play Smash Brothers Ultimate because there's a remix of a song from this game in it.
Cool.
I also think they released a version of this for the Wii something.
Wii U, yeah. It's Wii on the Virtual U. Console.
So that might be a thing. And then you can also just pull out your Game Boy Advance, turn on the light in the minivan. And
while we're talking about age, I think it's worth pointing out that it may not be Stardew Valley, but this game did sell 1 million copies and was really well received when it came out.
Yeah, so 1 million was good for then, but wow, 10 million Stardew. Wow.
Y'all.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Fanboy, would you like to go first?
I'm not playing your games.
He's mad.
I'm not.
He's so mad that he likes this game.
I'm not mad. I'm just not playing your games.
Then
so
tell us if you like it.
I won't go first.
You won't go first?
No.
Okay, Kenny, do you want to go first?
I'm undecided.
I mean, I can. Nolan going first is more fun.
But he's not going to play the
fine
game.
Okay. Why is it more fun?
Because.
Okay, so I haven't played Aria of Sorrow or the other one that people claim is better than this one, and kind of groaned when this one got selected instead of the other two. I love Game Boy Advance, and I was really impressed that this was a launch title and really, really early on in the Game Boy's life cycle. So I love Castlevania. I had a lot of fun with this game. Yep, it's a Castlevania formula. It's very similar to Symphony of the Night, but it's portable. And I didn't have too big of a hurdle coming back. The movement was bad, but it was bad back then too. It was just like a weird slow thing that they decided to go with instead of a smooth experience. But late game, it makes up for it with some of the movement options. So I'm giving this New Game Plus. The haters can die, honestly.
Just straight up die?
You'll no, come back as Dracula.
Kenny?
Yeah, I have made sure to point out some of the game's weaknesses because I don't think it's perfect. And yes, being a Castlevania game, it has a ton of other titles that it has to compete against. And it's like, it's not a perfect game. There's stuff they could have done to implement the DSS system being better. That would have even been more rewarding if it wasn't buggy. I actually agree about a few of the complaints on like some graphic stuff. And I think the layout was a little less inspired than some of the other games, yada, yada, yada. I've said some of those things. That being said, Castlevania is a really fun series. There's a reason it did so well, and this fits right into the pocket of those kinds of games. It was rewarding. The different kinds of magic and the experimentation there were great. I'm with Nolan. I liked the bosses. Yeah, story might have been a little like predictable or ham-fisted. Argue about whether that's important. So yeah, like, it's probably not the best Castlevania game, but it was a lot of fun and is a great game overall nonetheless. So, yeah, New Game Plus for me, for sure.
Surprised.
Surprise, surprise.
All right, let's hear your hot take.
Okay. Castlevania Circle of the Moon is a great handheld title and should definitely be played.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that's how I felt this entire time. I just wanted to... I haven't said anything otherwise.
You have said otherwise. You said Symphony of the Night, Symphony of the Night.
That's
of
all
you
talked about.
Symphony
boy.
Of the Night is far superior. This game came out many years after and just copied it. But if you're going to...
they made
going
both.
To, which is fine, but you can't just make the right. same game.
So like, me and Kenny give it New Game Plus. It gets New Game Plus status.
No, and I do too. More than Kenny. I give it more than
your
Kenny.
Your New Game Plus vote is like Circle of the Moon. It's not canon, and we're voting it out of the
no
results.
Canon vote. What did our viewers think?
Well, you're like Dracula, and you suck.
Oh, you're like Hugh, and your father doesn't
Wait,
love
blood?
You.
No, gosh. I get it. It was actually funny.
Okay. Circle of the Moon is New Game Plus certified, but what did you think? We had many write in. Our friend Garlisle said, the idea of a handheld successor to Symphony of the Night was a bold one. Those are pretty big shoes to fill. Yes, it was one of the strongest launch titles on the system, but I always thought of it as one of the weaker games in the series. The castle rooms feature so little variety in design that they start to feel repetitive, and the exploration starts to feel unrewarding. Even the music is mostly rehashes from previous games in a poor sound font.
That's a lie.
Font. I wouldn't be so harsh on this game, but in the years to follow, there would be more symphony-style Castlevania titles on handhelds, and I just think they deliver better.
Yeah, but if when you would have gotten this game when it came out, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, because you wouldn't have known about the other ones.
Yeah, but we're looking back.
Touché, on guard, boy. Who said those things?
People, all of our listeners that write in, you're just going to need to know if you write in, no one's going to bash your commentary, but I guess that's just a part of it.
No, that's my thing, no.
Bryce also wrote in and said, as a connoisseur of Castlevania, I am thrilled you all get a chance to experience this gem. While it is the worst of the three GBA games, that isn't so much of a knock against the game as it is a testament of how good they are. The soundtrack, like all Vania games, is a highlight. The magic system is unique and fleshed out. The gameplay is smooth and responsive. The graphics are great, though they are dark. Nathan and Hugh's constant clash and the insane difficulty at the end leaves you with a sense of huge accomplishment if you can finish it. This game has brought me hours of joy and really showed the GBA was the real deal. New Game Plus should be assured.
Are y'all team Bathan or team Bayhew?
Bathan.
Me too.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I mean, I asked if you like Nathan or Hugh better.
Then what's Bathan?
Bay combined with his
sometimes
name.
You gotta just go with whatever Nolan says.
Is Bathan.
Thanks, Bryce. And then Astral Soul says, Circle of that's the Moon
who,
is...
That's who wrote in. He's not calling you
Astral
Bryce, Nolan.
Soul said, Circle of the Moon is a bit of a mixed bag. The controls feel clunky and slow. The colors of the graphics are dark and muddy, and the map what? Design is a bit confusing. However, it's still Castlevania, and the first of many portable games in the franchise to attempt to copy the classic Symphony of the Night.
Are those
formula.
The only words y'all know? Dark graphics and Symphony of the Night?
This is easily the worst Castlevania on the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
However, it's not without its merits. The music is good, skills are great, blah, blah, blah. Overall, I'd say it's a good game. Not great, but certainly not bad. If you're a fan of the series and haven't played it, then definitely do so. But if you're just starting out, play Aria of Sorrow or Super Castlevania 4 first.
Did y'all get together before we recorded?
No, just we're all right and you're wrong.
I'm really not wrong. Thanks for writing in, Garlisle.
I like how we have more debate over this game that we all agree about. Everybody gave in New Game Plus, and we're ready to go to blows.
No one was on this preset that we didn't like it. What, you didn't intentionally say someone else's name?
Bastral Soul.
Okay. Bro Jim also wrote in. Cecil did as well. Bro Jim said that this game introduced him to Metroidvania. It's the sole reason he plays Metroid, and he also said whips are hot. And
agreed.
Cecil seems to agree with what others have said and says just play Aria of Sorrow or Harmony of Dissonance instead.
Oh, that's a cool name, Harmony of Dissonance.
Ooh,
I'm gonna have to steal
you
that.
Do like that better, yeah. As what? Like your AOL profile?
In-game name.
All right. Thank you for writing in. You can always, dear listener, send in your thoughts and commentary to be featured on an episode. Just write in, send your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com or stop by our Discord, the commentary channel there, and we'll include your thoughts on next week's episode. But for now, we are going to set aside this lackluster title and we are going to not randomly select from our Retro Master list.
It's time to get hype.
It's time to get high because we are doing a Patreon pool. Really cool thing, one of our listeners, Terizo Backrub, which I'm uncomfortable saying that name, Connor, put together some statistics. From the Patreon pool submissions, we've got some graphs that we're looking at, color-coded graphs,
stats.
Which is just wonderful, some stats. So if we're looking at statistics, the platform that is likely to be selected is PC at 21.4%. We've got more PC games that have been submitted. But following up at a close right behind that, we've got Game Boy Advance, Super Nintendo, and PlayStation that kind of matches there. And then for genre likelihood, we are overwhelming with RPG at 31.3%. Action-adventure follows that one up, and then platformer. So
I hope it's a platformer.
That is statistically speaking, but you know randomization can do whatever it wants. A few of the games that have been submitted are Super Metroid, Mega Man Battle Network 2, Wild Arms 3, Majora's Mask.
Ooh.
Resident Evil 4, because I believe that it just became retro in our... Wow. Yeah.
That's a really popular one, too.
It is a very popular one. We've got a lot of games on here. I just named a few, and we are going to randomly select the game that we're going to be playing the next 7 days, randomizing now. We're going to be playing a 1996... PC title.
Hey, stats work.
Stats work. It's a point-and-click adventure game.
Okay, stats don't work.
Nice submission.
Developed by Revolution Software. Nolan, you are rude. It was then later released for the PlayStation as well as the Game Boy Advance, but it first came out on the PC. I know nothing about it and wasn't one of the ones that we mentioned previously. The game is called Broken Sword, The Shadow of the Templars.
Wait, broken what?
Sword.
Yeah. Sword?
You say that so weird.
S word?
Sword?
Yes.
You say the W hard, fam.
It's, sword.
It's like people that say pillow or milk. Like you totally say sword wrong.
Who says
I really
pillow?
Don't pronounce it that way. I'm just kidding. Oh, but okay. We are playing Broken Sword. It was submitted by Macaulay McCulkin, which I think he's had his Patreon pool pulled before. So
yeah, I think so too.
He's lucky.
Okay.
Thank you for your submissions, all of you, dear patrons. Thank you, Macaulay McCulkin, for submitting Broken Sword. I think we'll see next week. Grab a copy of The Shadows of Templar. That's the subtitle. Play it along with us. And thanks.
And thanks for being part of our awesome community. So we want you to be a part of that. If you're not, it's very easy to do so. All you have to do is go to our website, ngppodcast.com. There's a button there that says join us in Discord, and that's it. You're part of the community. Stop by and say hi.
And thanks to those who support us on patreon.com. Especially our producer-level supporters, who not only are wonderful people who support the show on an ongoing basis, but help to make Patreon pools a reality by suggesting really cool games. So we're super appreciative for you guys, specifically Antonin, Ben, Dear Baby, Garlisle as our director, Kevin, Corey, Maxima, Zach, and Zion. I also apologize for saying what followed by what.
You can follow us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, as well as YouTube. Those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Broken Sword, which Steam just put down to 75% off for the director's cut. They must be listening to this episode. Wow.
They're listening to our live recording.
Before we even record it.
Until then, I'm still Bathan.
I'm Hugh.
Nope.
Bayhew, as in like Mayhew.
Is that who you are?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. And this has been New Game Plus.
yeah, like Nolan, zero experience with this one. I didn't have a GBA.
Lame-o.
That's
that's the end of what you said. Yeah.
Kenny, you asked one question and I answered it.
But did you hear your tone?
Your inflection. I did not have a GBA.
And that pause right there is a but.
But.
And you just kind of left it.
I think I was trying to hold in a cough. Okay. You want to just say it again with less inflection?
No. I also did not have a GBA.
That's it. Okay.
We'll cut it there.